This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على الكتاب والسنة واتباع السلف الصالح.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome back to another episode of Discussions. This is your brother Abu Sumayya, and today I'm joined with Akhi Abu Taymiyyah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, fine. Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah, it's really nice to have you today to discuss a few things, some important things. One of the things I wanted to touch upon today was, you gave a lecture not long ago, a little bit earlier, and we spoke about, you spoke about the heart. And you also touched upon things that affect the heart, and the window to the heart, so to speak, is the eyes and what we look at.
No, I'm sorry.
And you mentioned about the mobile phone, how dangerous this is in this day and age if not used in the right or the wrong way. So, I mean, just explain a little bit about that.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran amma ba'd. Dear respective brothers and sisters, this is a very prevalent disease that has currently not just the Muslims have been hit by, but rather even you find that some of the non-Muslims, rather a lot of the non-Muslims, are also suffering from. And we find that in the religion of Islam, there are certain things that have been made prohibited for us, which could eventually lead to us being destroyed in this dunya, and likewise in the akhirah as well. You find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He has told us to lower our gaze. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, He tells us about lowering the gaze. غض البصر أصل أصيل في حفظ القلب. It is from the biggest of foundations and the main ones that allow a person to safeguard his heart. Because we know if our heart becomes corrupted, everything else becomes corrupted and we will eventually become destroyed in this dunya and likewise the akhirah. Came in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةِ. There's a piece of flesh in a person's body. إِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that becomes corrupted, everything else becomes corrupted. وَإِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. And if that becomes rectified, everything else becomes rectified. And this is the heart. We shouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden now, things that we used to be shy about previously, that we are now doing in the open. Okay? I'm sure there has been times in our life where we used to be scared to do things in front of the public, like in front of our parents, in front of our friends. But now we just go and do this, you know, perfectly normally without any issues. And this again, it goes back to the heart having become corrupted, and now it's being projected by the limbs, okay? Projected onto the limbs. So, like I mentioned before, yani these eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted to us, and I say it's a gift because, my brothers and sisters, Allah azza wa could easily remove that, okay? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, He would have, you know, just removed our sight. He would also remove our hearing. Okay, and there's people who don't have that. So we've been gifted by it, and we need to actually safeguard it by,
absolutely,
you know, really, absolutely, looking after it.
Well, here's a point you made. You know, there's sins that we do publicly, and we have no shame for doing it in this day and age. But there's certain sins that people do in private. Okay, and that's always been the case. But there's certain things that people do on private when no one's looking, and they're on their own. And I'm talking about the dangers of pornography and so forth.
Okay.
You know, the phone opens up, you know, we could be walking down the street and a man's natural inclination, despite what agenda people try to push, is an attraction to women and vice versa. Yeah. Okay.
And this is the biggest fitna of the men.
Exactly.
It's as their the weakness. Said. Yeah.
So, but on the street though, you can always look away.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, how many, you know, women are you going to look at before you actually actively start reminding yourself that you're outside and other people are watching you as well?
No.
You know, other than Allah. But at home, when you're on your own, you're in your bedroom, and for many, I'm not even talking about the elder generation, but for the younger generation who are not married, every advert that you come across has some type of,
it's like sexual.
Exactly. No. So how does a person deal with that?
Okay, as we mentioned earlier, again, yani, it's this bellow of the phone. Okay, a lot of it now, yani is being used on people's phones. Okay, before they had to go into the computer,
yeah.
And the computer is what in the living room. Everybody sits in the living room, so it was a bit more difficult. And you know, the shaitan is always working and trying to make haram much easier for the people. Okay, even subhanAllah, the poet, he says, كَرِهْتُ النَّتَّ حَتَّى ذِقْتُ نَتَّ وَأَسْبَابِ لِهَذَا الْكُرْهِ شَتَّى وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ بَحَرٌ عَمِيقٌ وَكَمْ يَطْوِي مِنَ السَّاعَاتِ وَقْتَى. I have started disliking the internet until I became so tight inside. A person, this is exactly what the internet does. Not only because it wastes time, because the poet, later on, he says this, okay, وَكَمْ يَطْوِي مِنَ السَّاعَاتِ وَقْتَى, because it wastes so much time. You know, sometimes we find ourselves surfing, we see one video after the other on the recommended list, and it just ends up wasting so much time. That's one thing. That which is more greater is, this is one of the biggest means that destroys a person's heart. Why? You look at one thing, it leads to another. It looks, and another, and another, and another. Okay? And if we're going to do something about it, yani it only makes sense that we kind of further ourselves away from this mobile phone. Okay? I remember, subhanAllah, Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Khudair, who's one of the major scholars in Saudi Arabia. He's also in the Lejnat Al-Da'im, in the Executive Committee of Giving Fatawa. He used to have these rubbish phones, you know, these £10, £20 phones. I don't know what they call it. You know, the ones we used to have back in the day. It doesn't have, some of them have color and some of them don't.
Well, this day and age, it's a trap phone.
A trap phone? I don't know what that means.
Drug dealers use it. This day and age. That's a reality, man. Isn't it?
That's very true, yeah. That's very true. So anyways, he used to have this phone, and then all of a sudden, he bought these smartphones. And he himself is telling this story. Because just randomly, all of a sudden, and I've seen this, it happens normally on VPN. VPN. VPN, I don't know if you don't know, we in Saudi, we use VPN, we switch it on in order to be able to use the WhatsApp calling. Okay? So anyways, to cut a very long story short, the Sheikh was saying, all of a sudden, when he moved onto the smartphone, just randomly, he ended up seeing a picture of a woman who was exposing herself. He goes, I ended up leaving and I went back to my trap phone. Okay?
Let's not call it a trap phone, really.
Whatever you want to call it. To all these random phones. So anyways, like, for a person to actually realize that this is an issue, that's the first step. And then he needs people around him to be helping him. Okay? So by maybe getting rid of this phone from, you know, the early stages, so a person becomes detox. What do they call it?
Okay,
like a detox.
It's easy to say get rid of your phone, but the phones are just not a phone this day and age. Look, we've got social media on the phone. Yeah? We've got emails on the phone. Yeah, people use the phone to make videos and, you know, and whatnot. So the phone now is everywhere.
No.
It's too late to get rid of it now.
No.
It's never going to leave.
No, I'm saying for a period of time.
Yeah.
Until an individual's immune system becomes free of this sickness that he's suffering from, because it's an addiction now.
Yeah.
People are suffering from an addiction. People want to leave it. I've seen even practicing brothers who have emailed me previously, and they were suffering from it. That means you have to kind of like cut every means that is leading you to this haram thing. Like a drug dealer now, okay? You have to try it. Why do they go into this? What do they call it? They go into this... what do they call it when they go into detox?
Rehab. Okay?
Rehab, that's the word I was looking for. They go into rehab and they're in this house for like 30, 40 days or even more than that. And all the wasail, the means that gets them back into drugs, are cut off from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not anything different. You're addicted, they're addicted over there, and he's addicted to this. So if you're telling me now, you're addicted to watching pornography and it's on your phone, it only makes sense that you go far away from it. You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that you totally cut yourself off from the phone, but if you truly want to change and rid this from your habits, you would have to get far away from that phone.
Okay, so that's something that an individual person can do. Try lock off the phone, and guard their eyes and so forth.
No.
What can society do? Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Families, what can they do?
Okay, because you know, when you look at the issue of pornography, a lot of the reason as to why somebody might turn to pornography is because he wants to fulfill his desire. We as human beings, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made a partner for another partner. the husband for the wife. And one of the things that come out of marriage is for a person to be able to fulfill his desire, because especially we're living in a very sexual society where everywhere you look you find the opposite gender being used as sexual objects, and us living and seeing this all the time, yani the heart begins to crave this as well. Okay, it affects the heart. Like looking around you all the time, when you see this, of course the heart blackens. You know, a dot after a dot, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, nukitatvi, nukitatun sawda. A black dot gets placed on a person's heart until it becomes so black and it becomes covered. And لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا. يعني everything starts becoming normal for that person. Okay, a couple of years ago, I remember Canadians from Canada, they emailed me.
Where else would Canadians be from?
Okay, Canadians. Like brothers from Canada. They emailed me and they told me that there was a very big fitna in Canada. And this fitna was practicing brothers wanting to get married, wanting now to fulfill the other half of their religion. Okay? And that's something khair. Today we find a lot of youngsters, even our sisters, at the age of 19, 20, saying, oh, I'm not ready to get married. Even brothers saying, I'm not ready to get married. So if we have a youngster now who's wanting to protect himself from zina, okay, and he wants to now fulfill the objective, one of the objectives that the Al-Islam came with, which is to get married, okay, in order for a person to protect his religion, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الشَّبَابُ, O Shabab, O youngsters, مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاعَةَ فَلِيتَزَوَّجْ فَإِنُّ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصْرِ وَأَحْسُنُ الْفَرْجِ. Whoever amongst you is able to get married, let this person get married, for indeed it is better for the eyes. It helps him, you know, lower his gaze, and it also protects his private part. And this individual now who, you know, watches pornography, he's not necessarily protecting his private part, because what? He's fulfilling his desire. So the point is, they emailed me saying that there's practicing brothers. They've got beards. They've got thobes. Okay? They want to get married, but the parents now are making things very, very difficult. Not in any way am I trying to justify the sin that they are falling into at all. Okay, of course, you can't necessarily blame someone else in totality. They're trying to get married, and parents are telling them, you need to have a degree, or you need to, or both of them actually, you need to have a degree, and you need to have $20,000 as well. Okay, so a youngster like this, who is trying to protect himself, you tell him, bring up $20,000. We know, Abu Sumayya, we're living in a society where it's very difficult to accumulate money like that.
Of course it is. I mean, yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to the families making it difficult.
Yeah.
Families make it very difficult. Sometimes for the right reasons, meaning there's some good reasons involved, but it's overshadowed by culture and bad reasons.
No.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with, you know, making sure that the daughter marries a righteous
right person,
man.
Yeah.
He has good lineage.
Sahih.
You know, he's an upright, moral person. Has a good job he can provide for.
Yeah, of course.
But then there's going to an extreme, making sure that even if someone fits that category, but no, you keep adding stipulations.
Some families actually see it to be belittling for their daughter to go out of the house, to leave the home, and get married, and the mahar is really, really low.
You know, you remember mahar?
Yeah.
When I was in Saudi, and I come across a man. He must have been in his mid-30s. Mm-hmm. I think he was originally from Afghanistan, but he'd been, I think he was born in Saudi, raised there and everything like that. And the issue or the topic of marriage come up because we were shopping and he worked in the shop. And he said he wasn't married. And all of a sudden I scratched my head. I was like,
yeah, in Saudi,
how can you be 30 plus years old and not married? Now, brothers and sisters, you got to realize something. We're talking about the desires that human beings are made with. Every guy likes a girl, and every girl likes a guy.
Guy, of course. Yeah.
Okay, that's the natural
Sahih.
Way of life.
And there's nothing wrong with
there's
it.
Nothing wrong
there's
with
nothing
that,
wrong
okay?
with it. Yeah, it's not a taboo
so
issue.
So when you see a grown man,
yeah,
and he's not married, don't forget, we're thinking the good of a person. Either that person's doing something haram, zina, yeah?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why would you logically not be married? There's no such thing as I'm not ready. What, do you not ready to do you not want a woman? Do you not want a man?
No, it definitely is a very big issue.
And he said to me, it was an issue about money. You know what, come to my mind.
Yeah.
You know, brothers and sisters, this is just a topic about how we can do things to better yourself, right? was thinking, if I was in that situation, may Allah protect me. That there's poor women. Ya akhi, I've been with some of the teachers that teach in Masjid Nabawi. Yeah. I've been with them, and they're taking me by the hand, and we've gone, and he's shown me the widows. And some of them are young women.
Yeah.
You know, they have, and they give them zakat, they give them rations, you know, bag of onions, bag of potatoes, bag of carrots. And this is what this sheikh does. May Allah preserve him. And I was thinking, why would you not marry one of them? So this is a double standard now. He's finding, he wants to get married, the woman he wants to marry, the family making difficult. But he's not looking to the other alternative. Mm-hmm. Well, just because she's poor? Wallahi, that poor marriage is a halal marriage.
Sahih.
And you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. And Allah knows best what, at the end of the day, your desires lead you to sin.
Sahih.
Your desires lead you to masturbation. Your desires lead you to pornography. Your desires lead you to zina. And so forth.
Mm. So just maybe going back to that point where, you know, pertaining making marriage really, really difficult. Subhanallah, if we just like stand over the statement of the best of creation, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned something, and subhanallah, you can take a lot out of it. He said in a hadith, من أتى إليكم من أتاكم ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه إلا تفعلوه تكون فتنة في الأرض وفساد كبير. Whoever comes to you and you're satisfied with his religion, okay, and you also see that he has good conduct, good mannerism, then get him married off. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ Either that you do this, otherwise there will be such a big corruption on the face of this earth. What is this corruption that we're currently seeing now? Wallahi, our parents, you know, this is like a humble, sincere advice from your son, from your child. I don't think you don't know what's going on with the youngsters. Because if that was the case, then I don't think we would make marriage difficult for them. Okay, they won't necessarily tell you this because it doesn't make sense for a child to come and tell his mother, even the sister telling her mother, oh, I'm addicted to pornography, I watch pornography and this is how I fulfill my desires. Okay, and this is so prevalent. It is widespread, more than what we can even imagine. You'll be surprised the amount of correspondence that I receive, and some of them are even practicing. They really want to fulfill their desires in a halal way, but they end up becoming addicted to it. Okay, and like I said earlier, and I'm going to reiterate this, not in any way am I putting the full blame on the parents, but it is an issue. Them, you know, obviously falling into the haram is a problem, and they are going to be held to account. But us making, you know, really hard is a very big problem. And then later on we begin to regret. When now he goes and has a haram relationship and she gets pregnant, this is when I realize the parents, they rush in order to stop shame coming to the family. How many times have I seen a family marrying them both off after she became pregnant? She was saying no, the mother or the dad is saying no. Later on they end up having a haram relationship, or behind closed doors they do zina. And some of them, they know the only time the parents are going to get them married off is if he impregnates her. So he uses that as an opportunity in order what to get married to her. You see, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did say to us, خَيْرُ الصَّدَاقِ أَيْسَرُهُ, as it came in the hadith of Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala, the best type of mahar is that which is the most easiest. And just because, you know, people are going to look down on you, wallahi, we don't necessarily care about the people. Yes, they will look down, but which one is a bigger matter that brings contention and pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most? People just talking maybe for a couple of months saying, oh, that the wedding was, or the food wasn't necessarily nice, because we decided to make things really easy for our younger children. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased. And through that, maybe righteous children can come out that were born in a halal way. You see?
So, brothers and sisters, it's just to conclude really.
Yeah.
The phone can either lead you to good or evil.
Sahih.
And there's far more evil out there than perhaps good.
Yeah.
But you have to safeguard yourselves. You have to safeguard your eyes. And we're not angels that are sitting here. Obviously, we make mistakes and we sin and we have our own problems. But for you brothers and sisters who have problems and issues, you gotta find the halal alternative. You gotta do things in the right way.
Yeah.
And if it means having more patience, until that halal thing comes your way, do it.
It's the fast, like for example, the fast. You know, really, yani it's like a form of castration. You use the word normally castrate for animals. Okay, what they tend to do is sometimes, in order to stop them from having children, they would castrate them. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the siyam does. There's hikam behind it. What the siyam does, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he talks about this. He says that when a person is fasting, it reduces the blood that is running through a person's blood vein. Okay, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did he say to us? Inna shaytana yajri min ibn adam majra dam. The shaytan, it runs through the bloodstream of an individual just like his blood runs through his body. Okay, so now when your blood is being reduced, the shaytan, he has a more thinner, reduced place to be able to run through.
Of course, okay? Of course.
And you can see as well, like a person, he tends to feel much, much weaker. That desire doesn't seem to be there when a person is fasting. Okay, if you can't fast the Siyam of Dawood, which is the best type of fasting, fasting one day
missing
one day. Okay, and yani, this is maybe a very good place to start. It's a very good place to start.
It's a good precaution to take.
No.
Because when you indulge in things that you know you shouldn't be looking at,
no,
or doing, then you can't progress in your religion.
No, I'm sahih.
You know, you think, why can't I memorize?
Subhanallah.
You gotta look at the sins. Yeah. Why can't I do this? Why can't I have a good Ramadan?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm hearing these stories of the Salaf. They used to do this. They used to pray like this. They used to recite X amount of Quran and understand X amount of Quran. Why can't I do it?
You know, subhanallah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in his kitab Al-Da'u wa-Dawa, okay, it is called the medicine and the sickness, or the cure and the sickness, however you want to translate it. He mentions, from what I remember, 24 points of bad effects of sins. Okay, and this point that you just mentioned was the first point that he started with.
Really?
That when a person can't memorize, when he's trying to seek knowledge and the knowledge doesn't seem to be going in, that's the first point that he mentioned, hirmanul ilm. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we look at the sins and the effects that he has on our life in our dunya and likewise in the akhirah, yani this is like also a step that will allow a person to really go far away from the sins that he's indulging in. Okay, like for example, he mentions the example of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, when he sat in front of Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala became shocked of how intelligent he was, okay, and how sharp and how immense his understanding was. He said to him, "Inni ara anna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qad alqa fi qalbika nura, fala tutfi'ha bi dhulmati al-ma'siyah." I see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a light in your heart. Do not extinguish the light with the darkness of sinning. Subhanallah. Okay. Also, you know, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he complained to Waqi'. Waqi' was an individual. He was his teacher, who was a hafid, who was really, you know, immense when it came to memorization. Even one time, an individual, he said to him, he went to Waqi' and he said to him, "What is the cure for memorization or forgetting? What is the cure for constantly forgetting?" Because they never used to see Waqi' carrying a book. It was all memorization. He said to him, "If I was to tell you now, are you going to implement it?" He goes, "Eh, wallahi, I will do that." So he said to him, "Tarkul ma'asi, ma jarrabtu mithlahu qat." Leaving of sins, I haven't tried anything like it. And also, my brothers, like, how can you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without ilm? You have to be seeking ilm. And you can only do that by seeking knowledge, right? To be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You am going to do that.
You're in the middle of a battle. Wallahi, Akhi Abu Sumayya, I've seen brothers who, you know, mashallah, they were given a tawfiq to go to Al-Medina. They are in the middle of a battle of addiction. Okay? Some of them, I remember one time a brother, he sat to me, he said he's still in a relationship. He was relatively new. May Allah Azza wa Jal help him.
Ameen.
He was still in a relationship and he was struggling. There's brothers that I met that were struggling to go to the haram. These were relatively new. Okay? They were struggling to go, and this is exactly what the sins does. It ties a person up.
It restricts you.
It imprisons you. It stops you from doing khair. And there's so many that can go on. Inshallah, maybe you can find this on my YouTube channel. It's a part two, the effects of sins taken from the kitab of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. We could easily go through it now, but I think we're trying to tackle a certain topic at this moment in time. Even Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he's got some lines of poetry where he said, "Shakawtu ila waki'in su'a hifdi fa arshadani ila tarki al-ma'asi." فأخبرني بأن العلم نور ونور الله لا يهدى لعاصي. I complained to Wakia because of me having, you know, a loss of memorization, and he told me to leave of sins. He never said to him, oh, you're old, oh, you know, inshallah, don't worry about it. He said to him, stay away from sins. This is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, who sometimes had to cover one side because his memorization was so good, because he was muddling up with the other side of the page. That's how good his memorization was. He has to cover one in order to be able to memorize this accordingly, you know.
You know, brothers and sisters, it's very important that you understand that whatever you're indulging in these types of things, pornography and so forth, you know, pornography and masturbation, that, you know, obviously they're linked, then first know that it's haram, and know that it can never benefit you. Rather, it only harms you in the spiritual aspect and in the physical aspect as well. Sahih. If you ever get married later, you're gonna have problems.
Yeah, exactly. The not only you know, will an individual have an issue with being able to fulfill the desires of his wife, okay, read between the lines, and the other issue is what tends to happen is, and I've looked into this as well, okay, an individual is attracted to his wife in the beginning, and for many years he is, then all of a sudden he loses attraction to her. Why? Because he's constantly thinking of all these women that are
fake women.
Fake women.
They're not real.
Yeah.
They don't exist like that. Only in Jannah.
No, yani, they watch pornography, and obviously when they make pornography, they're not going to bring you an unattractive lady. Do you see what I'm saying?
You know, you mentioned, we were talking
so
about,
he loses
this
attraction to his wife. 100%.
And what ends up happening, you know, pornography is like most addictions, where the need for it grows, and it changes. So, like, for example, if no one starts off as an alcoholic.
No.
Something leads him there. Different types of drink lead him there.
No.
Different types of alcohol, spirits, whatever, lead him to that position.
Sahih.
And no one ends up as a crackhead or a heroin addict
overnight.
You know, overnight.
Sahih.
Something leads him there, whether it be smoking, then weed, then so forth. And no one ends up as a pedophile.
Sahih. And that brings me to brings
and
to
now I'm gonna, before you get onto that, and I just want to drive that point home. Reason why.
Yeah.
Allah did not create man in this way, mankind, to have this disgusting, rapist kind of desire, right? And if you, even if you watch some of these programs that come on TV and that, where they expose them, these people say, when they ask, why do you like, you know, children of us under a certain age? And they said, we don't know. I never used to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
True, you never used to be. That's true. What led you to that?
Sorry.
You know? In the genres of pornography are so many animals, incest pornography.
Oh, I didn't even know there was that.
Incest pornography, and you look at some of these, you know, sodomy and all of this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
These become genres. Why? Because the person needs more, and he needs more, and he needs more. And until the heart is so black, then you know what these people do. We read the articles. You know, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. If you fall into this sin, Shaitan will wrap you up as he's wrapped up those people, those sick people that we have seen. So the main thing is safeguard yourself, because it can be a very dangerous slope.
Yeah.
And be patient and wait for the halal option. And parents and family members, siblings and friends, yo, I'm going to say it like this. If Abu Bakr gave his daughter to his best friend, and Umar gave his daughter to his best friend, and the Prophet, being the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his daughters to his friends,
closest
Uthman,
people now,
and Ali, who was a relative, why can't one best friend give to his other best friend, his sister?
Sahih.
Not that he owns her, but rather it's a recommendation.
And it's also kind of like the society, the way they think and they move. Okay, they sometimes feel it's a bit embarrassing to go and offer your daughter. No, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he offered his daughter to who? To Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu initially. And then later on, you know, they didn't want to do anything. Why? Because they knew that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking about Hafsata radiallahu ta'ala anha. Okay, and going back to the other point, subhanAllah, when he was talking about it led on to something. You know, a pedophile or a rapist never just became a rapist overnight. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned something very powerful. He said, "An-nadharu baridu al-jima'." Okay? Sorry, "An-nadharu baridu zina." Wa kama anna al-qublata بريد الجماع. Okay, looking is the first spark that leads to a zina. Just like, you know, kissing your wife leads to what? It's the first spark that leads to
intimacy.
Intimacy, right? Naam. So, yani, it's always somewhere where it started from, like you mentioned. And this is why, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with what? Lowering your gaze, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said. He said, قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing man to lower his gaze, and tell the believing woman to lower her gaze as well. And then safeguard your private part. And this is why it's very difficult for a blind man to go
and fornicate.
And he can't necessarily see. And
I think, you know, yeah. You mentioned the companions. What we have to realize, okay, the companions are our role models.
Sahih.
And the early generation of Muslims are our role models, right? The companions, they wouldn't turn to whatever their version of pornography was. Mm-hmm. They'd get married. They would look for the women. And society was such that they would offer their women to people. Yeah?
No.
And the women were the same. A woman wouldn't want to, you know, I'm going to call it self-harming. It's not self-pleasure, it's self-harm. She wouldn't self-harm herself. Rather, she would go out and she would get a man.
Sorry.
So we have to make those means easier.
Easy for them.
Yeah, okay, we talk about family blocking them. Sometimes we ourselves are blocking it. Look, we're all a group. We have groups of friends. Each friend has a group. And within them, they have sisters. No, you know your friend is good. You eat together. You play together. Mm-hmm. You know, you're playing football, whether it be PS4 or whatever, yeah, Xbox and that. You do all of that together. You go to the mosque together. You study together. You go abroad together. You do all of these things together. If you don't approve of him, who are you going to approve of?
And it's not something shameful to be rejected.
Exactly. Yani, say to your friend, Muhammad.
People are scared to be rejected. That's not, it's perfectly normal. Yani, it happens, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, in Allah كتب الخلائق والمن قبل 50,000 سنة. You see?
Oh, this is the point. You're going to be rejected. Yeah. So I'm going to come up to you because obviously, you know, mashallah, you brothers are, you know, big on the social media platforms. You're going to get people sliding into DMs and stuff like that, right? SubhanAllah, I forgot to say that. So you're going to get people sliding into DMs and stuff like this. Brothers, just ask her if she wants to get married. And sisters, do the same. I'm sure you must have maybe 50,000 requests.
No, Ustaz. So, I didn't quite hear what you, what did you say?
I'm saying if you know, on social media. No. Let's say, for example, okay, you're following someone on social media.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And obviously they're posting stories and pictures and videos and whatnot. You like that person.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of liking a million pictures and leaving mashallah comments,
or even like sliding into the DM and sending your pictures to them, becoming a fitna, yeah?
Just straight up asking if we want to get married. If they say no, so what?
Well, I think it's best that they don't ask whether they want to get married to you. And it's best to kind of like send their wali, a guardian, or send their brother, okay? Because, you know, guys, wallahi, it's I don't necessarily care how, you know, righteous an individual is, okay? He's not safe, okay? This is why I personally have placed people on my social media, okay? Like my Instagram, there's people watching it.
So to protect yourself,
to protect
you've endangered others.
No, but at the end of the day, like, if
no, I'm playing. Okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah, and there's other there's other people on there. Yani, they might look at stories and things like that, but they're like there to see, yani, if somebody makes the wrong move. If they end up messaging, obviously I'm gonna find out. Somebody else is gonna find out. You need to have multiple guys on there, and nobody is safe, okay? Because yani, if you look at DMing people, even though it's not necessarily seclusion that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about, but a big fitna can come out of it. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, "Ma khala rajul ma'a imra'atin illa kana thalithun min shaytan." Never does a person seclude himself with a woman, like the opposite gender, except that the third person is a shaytan. Okay, even though khalwa, it means to have two people in the same room together. That's not necessarily khalwa, but it comes very close to it, and fitna does come out of it. You ask now for marriage, he asks a question, and then she asks, and I've just seen this over the years. It can become a very big fitna, and it could cause both of them, they might be very good people, to become corrupted and to fall into a hole. So, yani, my advice is, if you kind of became attracted to a da'i or whoever it might be, to send your brother. And not necessarily be you, because you could become a fitna for him and he could become a fitna for you. And both of you might be very righteous people. And it's happened to righteous people as well. Yes, of course, they need to safeguard themselves. They need to look after themselves. But guys, it's their fitna. Women are the fitna of men, no matter how much of a great da'i you are. And I saw, you know, sisters putting on Twitter and things later on when this whole fiasco, this drama broke out. Oh, but they should be protecting themselves. They should be luring. Yes, they should be. But you're a fitna for them. It's just how the man has been created. Okay? So, yes, the guy should be safeguarding himself. And at the same time, women need to stop being a fitna for them. Okay? If you have a question, you ask your question, you keep it moving. You don't send any lols to them.
You know, the funny thing is, yeah? Is that when people say, like when women say to men, oh, you should control yourselves.
Yeah.
If we have to, in this country,
no.
By law, a shopkeeper has to keep hidden the cigarettes.
He has to hide the cigarettes?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
You know, if you walk in a shop, yeah. They have a, behind the counter.
Ajib.
They have to cover them up now.
Ajib. Before they just used to have on the boxes, right?
No.
They used to have on the boxes, the harms.
That's still there.
Okay.
The display is hidden.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if the display of cigarettes is hidden for those who, you know, have a smoking habit.
Because it reminds them, innit?
It reminds them. Yeah. So then what about, you know, then Allah was absolutely right when he sent down the verses of hijab.
Sahih.
And so forth. So I think on that note we'll end. Jazakumullah khaira. Barakallahu feek for your time and for your advice and for this discussion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.